Hey friend, do you want to offer meaningful learning solutions that create behavior change, fit in the flow of work, and yield real results for your nonprofit? If yes, this is the podcast for you. Join me as I explore instructional design and leadership development best practices, as well as change management, belonging, and influence. If we haven't met yet, I'm Heather, and I've been in your shoes. I'm a learning and development consultant and founder of Skill Masters Market. Before starting my business, I led learning and leadership development initiatives for a large national nonprofit. I know what it's like to need to develop your staff quickly and effectively and to build the relationships and cut through the organizational layers to be successful. And I'm bringing all of that to you in this podcast. So block your calendar, turn off your Teams or Slack chat, and let's dive in. It's learning for good. All right. I want you to grab something that's in front of you. Maybe it's a pen on your desk. Maybe it's your car keys, your bottle of water, whatever it is. Pick it up and take a moment just to play with it. Use it in a way that it isn't intended to be used. Ask questions about it. What if this were different? What if I used it this way? What if I did this? Hello, friend, and welcome to this week's episode of Learning for Good. If your nonprofit or association is undergoing organizational change, you know that it can feel heavy and overwhelming. That's where play comes in. As nonprofit learning and development leaders, we can use play to bring curiosity and fun back to the workplace. And I'm so excited to have play expert AC Holmes here with me today to explore how we can do that. Let's dive in. It's Learning for Good. All right, so I want you to think about the last 30 days. What is one thing you did that was playful? AC Holmes believes that adults deserve and need more play. As a former speech and language pathologist, AC has decades of experience studying the effects of play and flow on the brain and behavior. Her passion for empowering adults to rediscover the joy of play has led to transformative success for both individuals and organizations. AC's innovative approach incorporates the latest research on the brain and the benefits of play and flow to create effective and enjoyable strategies for personal and professional growth. She helps organizations implement playful work design to access these benefits across teams. Through her efforts, she is transforming the future of work. Welcome, AC.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I am so glad that you were able to join us today and talk about play and how nonprofit learning and development leaders can use play, especially when undergoing organizational change or other things that just feel heavy and overwhelming. We have so much going on in our world and our organizations and as individuals, and play just seems like a great opportunity, a great method to bring some of that curiosity back and bring some of that fun back into the workplace. So, AC, before we jump in, one thing I like to do with all of my guests is hear a little bit about their career journey. How did they get from one place to another? So tell us a little bit about your career journey.
So mine has been quite the winding path. I started, as you mentioned in my bio, as well, even before I was a speech language pathologist, I was a teacher of the deaf. That's where my career started. And transitioned from being a teacher of the deaf into speech language pathology, just to round out my the type of work that I was able to do with kids. And both of those fields take a lot of play-based work into the clinical setting. The way children learn language and really learn anything is really best done through play. So that's where my passion for play started. All of my clinical work and my educational work was based in play. And then I decided that I wanted to try something a little bit different and ventured my way into the toy industry. So still hanging on to play, but just in a different way. And it was in a nonprofit space that I worked in there at first, an organization called Women in Toys, Licensing and Entertainment. And then transitioned out of that, as nonprofits do. Things change, budgets change, that sort of thing. And just decided to take this on the road on my own. So now I'm doing consulting and facilitation, all based in the neuroscience of play for organizations, generally for employee engagement and retention, but also just overall well-being. So that's my path.
I love that. And it's so funny to me. I feel like I say this on every guest episode because it's so true. When you look back across a career, it's easy to see the string, right? The thread and how different roles, different career paths, different changes, transitions, and choices that we make all lead us to where we are. So it's fun to see how you're using some of the same strategies, some of the same approaches, and really the values, right? And applying them in your current role. So, AC, why should a nonprofit learning and development leader care about play? Why is this relevant to them?
So play is bigger than what we generally just think about play. A lot of people, if you ask them, when you hear the word play, what do you think of? Generally, what comes up is kids, maybe imagination, animals, and toys. And it's really so much deeper than that when we start to think about how play is applicable for adults. And there is a great wealth of neuroscientific research on what happens in the brain when we play, which is my favorite part of all of this. It's like the nerdy neuroscientific information. And so for adults, it becomes important because when we look at what's happening in the brain, we find out that play and playful type activities, and even just playful attitudes during activities, starts to trigger some neurochemistry that is the basis for all neuroplasticity. So, neuroplasticity being our ability to grow and learn and develop in our brain, it's pretty much what any human individual, being a child or an adult, needs to just learn anything new or create new relationships or deepen a knowledge base or a relationship. So that neuroplasticity all comes from this great neurochemical cocktail. And when we're playing and when we're in flow, that neurochemical cocktail is like the ultimate. So your brain turns into this like craft mixologist, and it is pouring you this exact wonderful drink of dopamine and anandamide, brain-derived neurotropic factors, endorphins, oxytocin, all these things that we've heard of that can do so much for us. Well, we get just the right dosages when we're playing. So that goes for all adults. But when we think about our folks that are in the nonprofit space, as you already mentioned, and then I know you talk about more on your show, can be pretty hectic at times, chaotic, often a lot of change. There's a lot of dealing with all sorts of different people because volunteers are often your workforce, right? But even staffing, it can just be a little more dynamic on a regular day and different. So, thinking about taking the benefits from all that neurochemistry and applying it in those kinds of workspaces can be really powerful.
Yeah, I could definitely see how that would be helpful if you think about bringing staff into training or volunteers into training and you're wanting them to take away something new, having play and kind of the benefits of the neuroscience behind it could definitely result in better outcomes for the people that you're training. So you mentioned staff engagement, you mentioned staff retention and well-being. What are some of the benefits that you're seeing from using play in the workplace?
So when we take play and playful situations and apply them to heavy or difficult tasks at work, we're able to tap into this level of neurochemistry that opens us up for better communication, for better collaboration, for better empathy, and even vulnerability. So if you're able to take a team and apply playful behaviors and attitudes. And an important thing to mention here is that playful doesn't always necessarily just mean fun and frivolous. So, my favorite definition of playful is the ability to frame or reframe a situation to be interesting, entertaining, or stimulating. That's from a researcher named René Preuer out of Germany. And he actually studies playful as personality trait, which is just interesting, but he's taking it deeper. Anyway, so I like to use that definition of playfulness when we bring it into the workspace. So rather than thinking of oh, we just need to do something fun, then get back to work. We're able to take this attitude of playfulness, thinking of things as interesting or stimulating, and apply that in any situation. So you have something that might be difficult, but if you can reframe it as, ooh, this is an interesting problem, and then you're going at it, addressing that problem as a team, it opens up so more opportunities. So an important sort of base for all of that work is to ensure that you are doing some more traditional playing on a regular basis. This is a really cool, another really cool thing about play to me, neuroscientifically, is that it's like having a practice of mindfulness. So if you do mindful breathing or meditation, generally, once you do a good practice of that, you find yourself using those skills in stressful situations, not just when you're sitting on your comfortable cushion listening to Deepak Chopra or whatever. You find yourself like with a client or a difficult conversation, and you might be using your deep breathing and going, oh, this is helpful. Well, play is the same way. So if you can practice, if you think about it, practicing play and playful behaviors and that sort of things in low stakes situations, your brain doesn't know that, say, Monopoly isn't actually a low stakes situation, right? It just thinks, okay, yes, there is a problem. We need to decide whether or not we're going to buy Boardwalk because you're opponent has Park Place already. That's a big decision in the moment. So, and when you're addressing that playfully, it's a board game or whatever, depending on how competitive you are, of course, then the next time you have to make a heavy decision at work, your brain immediately starts to tap into the same kind of neurochemicals that it was tapping into when you were having a great time playing Monopoly with your friends. So bringing that playful base of practicing play on a regular basis, and then applying those playful approaches to actual work, has just that immense benefit of opening up that sort of like new cache of responses. So instead of coming at it with stress and heightened blood pressure, because some of those neurochemicals that we get during play are actually responsible for slowing heart rate and regulating blood pressure and even our breathing. So all of that can come out even in those stressful situations.
Do you wish you could connect with other nonprofit learning and development leaders? I know what it feels like to want someone to bounce ideas off of and to learn from, someone who really understands you and your work. Imagine if you could have a simple way to meet people in the field, ask questions, and share information. That's why I created the Nonprofit Learning and Development Collective, where nonprofit, L&D, talent management, and DEI leaders can connect with each other quickly and easily in a virtual space. When you join this community, you will walk away with a new, diverse, and powerful network and a sounding board for your staff development needs. So if you're ready to exchange ideas and collaborate with your peers, come join the Nonprofit L&D Collective.
That makes a lot of sense. And I like the comparison with the practice of mindfulness and the practice of playfulness. So other than investing in a lot of board games, how can nonprofit L&D leaders use play to support some of the other things they're experiencing within their organization, like big organizational changes?
Yeah, so I like to talk with leaders about how, almost putting it too simply, but how can you add flexibility? So if we really think about the basis of play, generally, it's what you talked about at the beginning. I loved your introduction about pick up the pen and think about the what if. It's a lot about curiosity, right? So we need to be asking questions. We need to be wondering what if. And then we need to be listening to our team's answers. So if you can bring that aspect first as a leader to the organization, asking questions and then actually listening, which is a big piece that we forget sometimes, listening to their answers, and then applying continued curiosity through flexibility, then we have a lot of new opportunities, which end up being very playful. Because one thing about play is that it's really personal, so it's very different for everyone. What you consider play, I might not consider play, and another friend may think we're both crazy. So allowing other people to add in ideas And then when you're being flexible and considering answers for even anything, when it just comes down to a big topic right now for work in general is where people work from. And everything I'm seeing for that 4-day work week, that study that was done, and people are trying to put it into play, and hybrid in 2 days a week in the office and that thing. The only consistent that I am seeing across the board is that flexibility is what's working, even for that kind of basic. So if you can apply that flexibility, that curiosity, and that playful attitude towards anything else in your workspace, you're going to see improved outcomes kind of across the board.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I love the idea of listening. I think that comes up in a lot of episodes that we're talking about implementing change or creating more accessible learning or whatever it is, right? Listening is such a big part of making good decisions and implementing anything new within the organization. And it is important here. I talk in some of my work about creating things that are relevant, meaningful, and fun. But everyone has a different definition of fun.
Yes.
So
yes.
Taking the time to listen and to create something that works for your audience really is going to be worth it. So what's one thing that a learning and development leader can do today to be more playful? If they're listening to this and they're thinking, okay, yeah, that sounds like maybe it would work. Maybe I'm not sure yet, that kind of thing. But if I could try one thing today to be more playful, what would it be?
So I'm going to ask you, listener, to really, really lean into your flexibility with your scheduling. So take a look at maybe the meetings you have scheduled over the next 2 weeks. And again, being in communication with your team about all of this, because hopefully most leaders are realizing at this point that forced anything is never going to have good outcomes, especially not forced fun. So being sure you're in communication about why you're making these kinds of decisions, but look at your meetings over the next 2 weeks. Try to identify an area where you have 10 minutes that maybe can be either added or even repurposed to add in some, either a play break or a group play activity. The type of play activity, it's not prescriptive, right? It, like you just said, fun is really different for everyone. So it really needs to depend on your team, which is one of my favorite things to do with teams, is help them identify what types of play are best for them that are going to help them reach their goals and their outcomes. But generally, a really good one that kind of goes across the board for everybody actually goes right back into what you were just talking about with the listening is, so one thing that I facilitate for groups on a larger scale is called the failure awards, that you can implement these really on a smaller scale just within a team. So a big topic these days is how failure is important. We are human. Literally everyone fails. It's something that we all know, but generally when it comes to work situations, there's shame involved, there's fear of maybe discipline or just poor reactions to a mistake, right? So making it a practice to bring a team together and to start talking about failure on a regular basis is a fun idea. One thing about doing that is that it really requires quite a bit of vulnerability. So we're probably going to want to be playing together to get in, to know each other and trusting each other first before we're just like, oh, here's what I did wrong today. Yippee. So if you can spin it into like a conversation about, you can either bring up a real problem or a fake problem. That is maybe a common sort of theme amongst your type of industry. Like, it doesn't have to be something that your team did. And then you, as a team, brainstorm or just toss out ideas like popcorn, different things about the worst possible response to that problem. So whatever the solution is, and come up with the worst solution that you would just, like, it's so obvious that it's terrible, right? And just list them and put them down. Generally, they're funny. People are coming up with really weird sort of things. And then it's a potential of, oh, you know, that happened to me one time. I actually did that. And then you talk about the outcomes, but it's in a situation where it's not like present and looming over them. So failure awards, those are a fun sort of thing to do with teams that know each other pretty well already.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's fun to think about almost like worst case scenario, right? But to have that opportunity within a group setting. And there are so many pressing issues or challenges that learning and development teams are facing right now. So it could be cool to bring in one of those that we're seeing in the industry and talk about how you could fail at that. That would be a really good one to do and to bring into the learning and development team. Well, AC, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing more about play and playfulness and how we can incorporate that to make our staff and volunteer teams even stronger.
Hey friend, was this episode helpful for you? Did you like what you heard? Do you want more content like this? Here are three things you can do. Hit subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Share this episode with a colleague. This means so much to me personally. I read every review, but it also helps me learn what content you like most so I can create more of what you want. All right, turn that Teams or Slack chat back on when you're ready, and I'll see you next time on Learning for Good.